Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show. I'm your host, George Ellick, and this is day three's preview. I'm joined by Odds Checker's very own Andy Holding to go through the racing on Thursday. Before we do, Andy, just let's have a look back to yesterday's racing. We've got one full day in the satchel, as it were. What did you make of the racing we saw on day one?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic day, wasn't it? Big crowds, great atmosphere. Kicked off with Bayeed, sparking performance as anticipated. And then we got some really intriguing races throughout the rest of the day. Obviously, the main talking point was Maljum's unlucky run in the St. James's Palace Stakes, marking him down as a horse to follow for the future. Karibas obviously upheld his 2,000 guineas performance, but only by the skin of his teeth. And then we had some lovely stories as well throughout the rest of the day. It was just a good start. And even from a betting perspective for me, I hit the bar with several seconds. It was still a good way to start the week.
For those who watched the day one podcast or video, and for those who follow your column on the app as well or online, those who bat Maljum each way, you over it yet?
No, it's going to be one of those video nasties I'll look back in years to come, George, and always remind myself how unlucky it was. You know, when you have fallers at the Cheltenham Festival, ones that got away. They still hurt when even 2 or 3 years down the line. And it's just really annoying, really, because that was the day where I thought he might announce himself. And he did, but he didn't. We didn't get the monetary reward along with the performance. We could all see he was the best horse in the race, which kind of like I had a sneaky feeling hoped he might be. But we'll never get 14-1 again. That was the day where really everything needed to come together. Yes, you identified the horse, but you also had the touch as well with the betting side of it.
Yeah, well, we're going to now look at the racing on Thursday. And, you know, for those who watched day two's video, we're going to start off by talking about a horse we spoke about a fair bit on the Wednesday pod. But before we do, I'm just going to remind the listener or the viewer to download the Odds Checker app for the best prices. Bookie offers free bets and plenty else, including the best tipsters in the game and including Andy himself and the place terms that are also important looking at Royal Ascot. But we'll kick off our whistle stop run through Thursday's racing with the Norfolk, and Warbank is the 9-4 favourite ahead of the Antarctic at 3-1, Pillow Talk 8-1, Brave Nation 9s, Bakil 10-1, Crispy Cat 14s, Thunder Moon 20-1, 25-1 Redemption Time, and plenty bigger than that as well. Andy, Warbank, a horse that you've been talking about in glowing terms for a few weeks now. You put up in your column at 9-2 a couple of days ago, now a strong favourite for the opener.
Yeah, something I don't really do is that put a horse up that's due to run later on in the week on the first day. It was really in just anticipation or ahead of what I thought might transpire with regards to declarations. I could see that a lot of horses on the Monday declared for the Queen Mary and the Windsor Castle. And it was a process elimination job. I thought there's only going to be like 8 or 9 runners here in the Norfolk, of which Warbank was obviously going to be one of them because he didn't take up his engagement to the Windsor Castle. And at the price 9-2, I thought, well, given about a good chunk of them are going to come out, his odds were going to be sort of under 5-2, and that's exactly what he is now. So hopefully one or two punters or people listening to this have got fancy prices about him. And he's also been banging on about for quite a while now. So it's not. I'm not a Johnny come lately with this horse. He was really good when he won. When he was second on debut behind Noble Style, that's one of the fastest time figures that we got in the early part of the season. And he acquitted himself really well. Royal Scotsman, who was fourth, has obviously franked the form not only next time at Goodwood, but with his run in the Coventry. The fifth horse has won as well. It's just a really, really solid race. Shame that Noble Style didn't run. But he represents that form line at Royal Ascot in this particular race. And he comes here off the back of a good win, again in a good figure at St York when he made virtually all the running to score in pretty impressive fashion. The yard have always liked him. He's one of those real solid breeze-up horses they got and paid a right few quid for. And it looks, dare I say, he's for the taking, really. Mm. So, yeah, really confident of a big run.
Warbank 9-4 best price still with Bet365, as short as 13-8 in a place as well. So snap up that 9-4 whilst you can. On then to the second race on the card, the King George Post Impressionist 6-1, Newfoundland 7, Secret State 7s, Issar Isra 8-1, Mandobi 9-1, Yashin 12-1, Deauville Legend 14-1 with Sorry Mist and Franz Strauss. And those, Andy, who watched us chatting through your horses to follow for the season might have had a Nag Me alert or something similar for Deauville Legend. And I'm guessing that's the one you want to be with here.
Yeah, I've long felt for a long time that this horse is going to be potentially pattern class further down the line. And I've no reason to go back on my first impressions come this sort of handicap on Thursday. I love the way he went through his race at Windsor on his seasonal reappearance. He was up against a couple of Godolphin horses, both highly regarded. One of them had run against New London in a good maiden at Newmarket previously, and the other horse had been very impressive on the ill weather at Wolverhampton. So he was up against, like I say, a very, very strong duo. One of them was 11-8, one was even money. This fella went off 10-1. So there wasn't a huge amount of expectation for him to beat those two, but he did so in pretty impressive fashion. He went through the race like a good horse. He quickened really well. His back end sectionals are good. The overall time was very healthy, and he's been laid out for this race ever since. Wanting to protect his handicap mark of 89, they didn't want to run him again. They didn't feel the need to run him again. The race has already worked out well. The fifth horse, Balambar, has gone on to win a maiden at Chepstow, and he rocks up here off a mark of 85. So it just shows you that, you know, the 12-length difference between them at Windsor, you know, to come out of that only sort of £4 higher than a horse who's already battered, I think it's a really good move by James Ferguson. Stall three could be slightly problematical, George. I think traditionally you want to be middle to high in this race because you can get trapped down on the inside, but hopefully Danny Musk will be wise to that. But either way, he's on a horse with a good cruising speed, a good temperament, a good bit of class, and he's certainly got the figures to run well. So 12-1 for Deauville Legend. Hopefully the 14s, even better. The long-term projects will come to fruition.
Yeah, 14-1 with Bet365, Bet Victor and Coral. Onto the 340 now, the Ribblesdale, no Emily Upjohn here. And that makes for maybe a disappointing field, but a decent betting heat nonetheless. Sea Silk Road, 2-1 favourite ahead of Magical Lagoon at threes. Life of Dreams, 5-1. History, 15-2. Mukadama, 8-1. And Mystic Wells, 25-1 here, Andy. Six run. How do you see it?
Yeah, slightly disappointing that Emily Upjohn doesn't make the gig after her unlucky run in the Oaks, but it does make it at least a more open betting race than we would have might have had. But I still think the favourite might win it here. It's Sea Silk Road, who's open to any amount of improvement. I was really impressed with the way she won first time out. And she was up in class next time out at Goodwood. And she came through that assignment with flying colours, despite probably not running on ground totally to her liking. I thought she showed a good bit of tenacity that day, as well as a bit of class to come out on top. Her time figures have been good. They've improved one run to the next. And she's just one of these typical late developing, late maturing three-year-olds that William Haggas does incredibly well with. He doesn't throw them in the deep end too soon. He brings them through the ranks steadily, and then he pitches them in, just like he did with Bayard last season. Went from Leicester, went to a conditions race to Newmarket, then went listed class, then went Group 3, then went Group 1, Group 1. And the horse learns accordingly along the way. And he's done it again with Maljim. Obviously, Maljim very unlucky yesterday, but he started off again, conditions race at Kempton, up to a Group 2 when winning the German Guineas, and then into a Group 1. So this is classic William Haggas. And I don't think the other five are probably right out of the top drawer with the greatest respect to him. Yes, they've been running against some decent fillies, like Magical Lagoon behind Concert Hall and Life of Dream behind Emily Upjohn, but they haven't shown themselves to be superstars, whereas Silk Road has the potential to be a good bit better than what she's already shown. So I think the Haggas team will gain compensation from yesterday's unlucky defeat with Maljum.
There you go. To get compensation, both the Haggas team, and I think Andy might be talking about himself a little bit there as well, to get the compensation there in Sea Silk Road at 2-1 best price, which is with William Hill. Fourth race of the card is, of course, the Ascot Gold Cup. Kyprios is a 7-4 favourite ahead of a horse who made this race his own for a while. Stradivarius 11-4, Trushan 11-2, maybe unlikely to run given the going is currently good to firm and will be drying, if anything, over the next couple of days. Princess Zoe 8-1, Mojo Star 16s, Burning Victory 22-1, Tashkan 14s, Bubble Smart 50s, Earl of the Cotswolds 50s, and Alignac 80-1. Andy, Kyprios the right favourite here at 7-4?
Yeah, on the basis of what he's done over in Ireland, and that's a $64,000 question, isn't it? Whether he can replicate that over on these shores. On his two visits so far at Newmarket and at Lingfield, respectively, he hasn't quite run up to scratch. So that's got to be a little bit of a concern. But the horse itself and his performances at Leopardstown in the two preeminent trials, sorry, one at Navan, the Vintage Crop and the Savile Beg have been absolutely spectacular, particularly his last run over that mile six journey at the Dublin track. He was good on the overall time. He was very good from three out, quickest horse on the card by a long way, showing that he's got a good turn of foot as well as stamina. And I think stepping up in triple really suits him. If he's anywhere near him on the home turn, he's going to be very difficult to beat, given what he's already shown. But he does face the champ, or one of the previous champs, Stradivarius, who has certainly proven that he's now back number at the age of eight, winning at York last time out. And he's about as reliable as you're ever going to get in a race like this. He basically switches off, he travels, and he quickens and he stays. Frankie knows him really well. The horse loves the track. It'll be a brilliant result for racing and for the crowd if this horse manages to pull it off. I think he'll be the public favourite, whereas Kyprios will be the wise guy professional's favourite. Don't think Trushan will run. I think the ground will be too firm for him, which is a bit of a shame given that he's been targeted at the race for the last two seasons. They're going to have to wait for probably some autumnal rain before he shows how good he is in the Cadran and maybe back on Champions Day. And the fly in the ointment from a bigger price perspective could be burning Victory George, who also chased down my stayers hurdle pick Buzz in that very strongly run Cesarewitz. On the evidence of that, we know that this filly really stays really well. And she's had a fairly good campaign as well over hurdles. And anything that Willie Mullins runs at the Royal Meeting, you've got to take note. So if I wasn't going to be backing or putting up one of the front two down at the short end of the market, I'd be going Burning Victory at sort of 20-1.
Burning Victory at 20-1. The one to kind of take it at a bigger price there for Andy. 22-1 best price with Unibet. Kyprios, one of interest though as well, 7-4. Rare that I put a horse up, and this isn't really a tip, just a horse to maybe look out for. I'm interested in Mojo Star. One of the, a bit of a bridesmaid, a bit of an unlucky story so far in Mojo Star's career. He won't find many horses that have run seven times, won once, and have an official rating of 116, but bumped into two pretty decent horses in Scope and Manobo in his two maidens, now rated 115 and 113. Then was runner-up in the Derby, was runner-up in the St. Ledger, so the bridesmaid in two top-quality races as well, and then was hampered in running in the Irish Derby as well before finishing fifth. As well there, and suddenly being really, really pitched into the deep end here, Andy. First run of the season, stepping up to the Gold Cup trip, stepping up from, I think the longest trip so far was the Ledger trip as well, but possibly could have the class maybe if things fall his way to upset the party.
Definitely, George. Yeah, it's a really intriguing angle in here with Mojo Star. If you work on the basis what Kyprios has done over mile six so far this season, don't forget he's not proven over 2.5 miles. Mojo Star was certainly a better three-year-old than Kyprios. Kyprios failed in his bid to be a Derby horse. Mojo Star ran well in the Derby and then, of course, as you say, ran it off his campaign with an excellent second beyond Hurricane Lane in the Ledger. So he's definitely got the best three-year-old form of those two we've mentioned, and yet he's 16-1. So I can certainly see why you'd be thinking of him from an HY perspective.
Yeah, it would take a titanic performance to win this company first time up of the season, but maybe one to look out for it and could run into a place possibly as well. The third last race on the card is the Britannia King of Time 5-1, Hooper 50 and You 7-1, Tranquil Knight 9-1, Saga 12-1, Atrium 14s, Yonifis 14s with Amortensia 14s as well, and one East 14s 20-1 bar. Plenty here, Andy. 33 runners, but there are a couple that you think are well set to run well.
I might get one prediction right in this race, and that's to nominate the favourite, and that'll be who put 50 in you. I'll be surprised if he's not, and he doesn't use a King of Time come 5 o'clock on Thursday. The form of that race that he won last time out, which is a very competitive handicap in its own right, the Silver Bowl at Haydock, couldn't have worked out any better. The time figure was exceptionally good, though, and a real good gallop. And the fact that you put 50 in, you managed to run down Mighty Ulysses and win with his ears pricked just potentially shows how good he is. He went into that race rated 88. He came out of it rated 98, which at the time probably seemed a bit harsh, £10 for a length victory. But given what Mighty Ulysses went on to do in the St James's Palace against Maljum Korobas et al. Yesterday, as we speak, suggests that it was probably an even better performance than we thought at the time. I'd imagine Mighty Ulysses is going to be rated somewhere in the 115, 120 bracket subsequently. And we've seen the third horse as well, Outgate, go on to win at Chester last week. So that form is absolutely rock solid. The front two were well clear, and he's drawn 28. So if he's in the right place at the standside rail, I think he's going to be a huge player at the back end. And the other one to mention as well is Amortentia. Jasvar Bryan had a really good run out of one of his in the Copper Horse yesterday, the first day of the meeting. And I was really impressed with the way this horse came from last to first to win at Nace, a tactic which is very difficult to do at the County Kildare track. Not many horses come from last to first in a big field to win, and he did it in a very fast time as well. The best closing sectional, unsurprisingly, given where he came from, on that card. And he's been laid out for this race ever since, just the one run this season. So, providing again, the draw isn't too much of a barrier for him, still 14. Amortensi has definitely got the ability to run well in what looks a very wide open Britannia.
Interesting. Yeah, Hooper 15, your best price, 7-1. That's with Bet365. And Amortensi are 14-1 pretty much across the board as well. A couple more races on the cards. Not a great betting heat, the Hampton Court. Reach for the Moon is the 8-13 favourite for the Queen. Claymore 13-2. Maxed 9-1. Cresta 9-1. Houth 20-1. And King Max 25-1. Andy, if there is a man who can find a bit of value in a six-rounder race with an 8-13 rock solid favourite, then you are the man.
Yeah, I'll just get my chisel out of my toolbox here to try and get some value for us here. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Reach for the Moon should win this, really. It was a perfectly respectable comeback behind a horse who ran really well in the St James's Palace Stakes in the shape of My Prospero. He probably looked as though he needed the run that day. I think John Gosden was gone on record beforehand saying he wasn't going to be knocked about in that Heron Stakes. But it's a race that has often been a stepping stone to glory for John Gosden's horses. I think he's had two previous horses that have won that race that have gone on to win the St James's Palace themselves. Stepping up in trip is definitely going to be the key to this horse. You know, he's got Ascot form in the bag as well. So it's very hard to see him getting beat. If you're looking for a bet without the favourite, maybe King Max might be the one to look at slightly big odds, around about 13-2 without. He wasn't quite good enough to mix it with the likes of Desert Crown and the Dante, but it was a respectable run all the same in fifth. And he also ran quite well in the Craven Stakes as well behind Native Trail. So he's been up against the very best in their divisions this season. And like I say, barring Reach the Moon, I thought all the others were much of a muchness, so why not take a chance with him?
Yeah, King Max is 13-2, best price if you want to bet each way with those five runners, a quarter to two, 13-2 with Bet Victory or Bet365. Happy to go in only, then you can back King Max at 17-2 with Quinbet or 8-1 with Skybet, the way to go. Well done, you managed to find the value. I knew you would.
There you go.
Before we get into the Buckingham Palace, the last race on the card, Montasib is 11-2, Silent Film 10-1, Vafatino 12-1, Chief of Chiefs 16s, Tanmori 16s, Tactical 16s, 20-1, Inver Park and Udalali, and Arafa, a few others as well, River Limp, The Attorney, 22-1, bar those. Andy, how are you playing this?
Yeah, probably give the favourite swerve here, Montasib. I do like him. He's definitely progressive, but he's drawn still one, so I don't know where that leaves him. And he's never raced at Ascot, so that would break one of my golden rules by tipping him. I'm going to concentrate on Ascot form for a race of this nature. I don't think we're too far wrong if you follow the form of the Victoria Cup won, of course, this year by Vafortina. First run for Kevin Philippart Defoy after leaving Jasvar Bryan. Landed a bit of a touch in, I thought, winning with a little bit in hand back in early May. And he's been saved for this race ever since. He's got a similar draw, drawn in 20 towards the near side. So he's going to get to run on the same strip that he did last time. And obviously with Benoit de Saya on the plate, that combination looks a deadly one. Back in the field that day was Chief of Chiefs. I'd just like to highlight his run that day. He never got one, to be perfectly honest. He finished hard on the bridle without having a race, but he was going well throughout of it, as far as I could see. He's got a really good record on the straight track at Ascot, right the way through from 6 furlongs to a mile. The last time he had genuine fast ground here as well, he won the Wokingham Consolation many years ago. So I think he could outrun his odds. And the Hunter mentioned as well at price of 25 to 133 to 1 is Snazzy Jazzy from the unheralded stable of Lawrence Mullaney. Won in a very fast time last time I had at Hamilton. The form has already worked out well. The fifth horse at Tipperary Tigers won since. And the horse that finished third, Hyperfocus, ran really well from a bad draw the other day at Chester. So despite him looking as though he's one of the outsiders, he comes in really good form off the back of a good time figure. And he's got Ascot form as well. So could see him certainly outrunning his odds. So two against the field, a big price. Snazzy Jazzy, 33-1. And Old Course Specialist, Chief of Chiefs.
There you have it. Andy's thoughts ahead of what should be a fantastic day three at Royal Ascot. Had to rattle through that one pretty quickly, but we got there in the end, trying to get out as fast as possible so you guys can digest it before the racing tomorrow. So thank you very much for Andy for his thoughts and his time as well. You can find all of our other Royal Ascot previews on the Odds Checker YouTube channel, so do subscribe to that there. You can also find it on any podcast channel as well if you just want to listen rather than looking at our ugly mugs. Do download the Odds Checker app immediately right now for the whole of Royal Ascot and the rest of your betting needs for the best prices, bookie offers, free bets. And of course, some of the best tipsters in the game, including Andy himself. Fingers crossed, we got some value there. Maybe a couple, hopefully a couple of winners as well. And as is always the case, please ensure that you're gambling responsibly.